Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12, Colossians chapter 1. And I'll begin reading in verse number 12. Entitled the message this evening, if you are taking notes, Some Things About Christ. Some Things About Christ. I'm going to deal a little bit about Christ and who he is. And I hope it'll be a blessing to your heart as it was to mine. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, beginning of verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the things that we can learn from it. And Lord, I pray at this time, Lord, you just give me the wisdom and the words to say. I pray you give me the boldness to preach thus saith the Lord. I pray for the hearts of those here that are listening. Lord, may it be a time of encouragement to them. May it be a time for them to become strengthened in their faith. May it be what they need, and Lord, in order to live for you. I also pray as well, if there's any person who is watching, they don't know the joy of sins forgiven. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that this would be the night that they trust in you. Again, Lord, we just pray in each and every aspect you receive the honor and glory you deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God the Father sent to this earth, that we have forgiveness of sins. I'm here tonight. I am a member of this church because of what Christ did for me at Calvary. It was what he did in my life that changed my direction. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But it was because of what Jesus did for me at Calvary that my life changed. I can remember, it doesn't seem that long ago, but it was about more than 16 years ago now. But it was a while ago when I placed my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I was about 16 years of age. There are many things in my life that were different before I was saved. Christ changed me. He made me a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And before I knew Christ as my Lord and Savior, I didn't know much about him. And I'm continuing to learn things about him. But this evening, I want to go over a few things about who he is. What the Bible says about our Lord and Savior. We know him to be Savior if we place our trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins, but Christ is more than just our Savior. He is God. He is the beginning of all things. There is much about the Lord Jesus Christ we need to know. We have been redeemed by the blood of God himself. Christ is not only our Savior, but he is God. There are many things about him I don't know, and I don't think I'll ever know. I think in eternity I'll continue to learn about God and who he is and what he's done for me. I believe that I'll be ever learning because I am not God, but God knows all, and I'll be able to learn many things from him. But this evening, I'm just going to share with you what Colossians speaks about in regards about the person of Christ. Who is Christ? Well, if you're taking notes this evening, first of all, he is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1:15 says, who is the image of the invisible God? Firstborn of every creature. The Bible says the following in John chapter 14, verse 1. Turn there if you would. The book of John. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we'll begin reading in verse Number one, John chapter 14, verse number one, the Bible says the following. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you? Yet thou hast not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, Show us the Father? Believest not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Philip asked the Lord to show the Father. And Jesus' response to him was, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? When he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't just see another man. He saw God in the flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is the image of the invisible God. He is God. There's no disputing that. That who is who Christ is. He's the image of the invisible God. He that saw Christ has seen the Father. When you see Christ, you see God. He's 100% God. There's no disputing that. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When you see Christ, you will see God. The Father and the Son are one and the same. They are both part of the Trinity. They are God. The Trinity are all one and the same. They are three distinct persons, and these three are one. For the human mind, this is hard to comprehend, but yet we know it's true because the Word of God teaches us this truth. It is found in the Word of God. I don't know if it does it justice, but there are things on this, even in creation, I believe, it gives us a picture of how this can be true. I'll just give a couple examples of what I know, but think of an egg. If you have one egg, it has a shell, it has the white of the egg, and it has a yolk. It's one egg, but there's three distinct parts. It's still the one egg, but there's three parts to it. And you think even of water in the way it comes in shapes and forms. There's solid, liquid, and gas. This glass of water here can be a liquid, can be solid, can be gas. It's still going to be water, but there's three distinct parts to it. What I'm trying to say in the best way of human terminology is the fact that there are three persons, but it is one God. And Jesus Christ is the image of that invisible God. I say that is what I'm trying to say because I can't give it justice. It's hard to describe, but yet I know it to be true. Christ is the image of God. He is God in the flesh. He that has seen Christ has seen God. And even this is how we know whether or not someone is generally a born-again believer or not. You can test the spirits to see if someone knows the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 4:2 and verse 3, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. Now, if you want to test whether or not someone is genuinely saved, just ask, is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh? If they say no, chances are they don't know who he is. The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ, that he is God. Philippians speaks of the deity of Christ in the following verses. In Philippians chapter 2, turn there if you would. Philippians chapter 2. I'll be just giving a lot of scriptures this evening. simply because I find it the best way to describe who Christ is. I can't do it justice, and I have not the way of articulating it as I ought to, but I am going to go through a number of scriptures and hope to show who Christ is. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and of things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ was the form of God. He's the image of the invisible God. That's what the Bible says in the book of Philippians. He has a name above every name. He is God. I'm going to read another passage of Scripture. You don't have to turn there. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and following, "God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory." The Bible speaks of Jesus Christ being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance attained a more excellent name than thee. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall to me a son." And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, "And let all the angels of God worship him." We thank of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, and we know this because he's worthy of worship. He is our Savior, not only Savior, but he is God, and only God is worthy of worship. Only God deserves worship. He has a name above all names. His position is far above the angels. He is the image of the invisible God. The Bible says, I'll read verse 7 and following in Hebrews chapter 1, "And that the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom." The Son is the express image of his person. All the attributes of God the Father are found in God the Son. Not only is he the image of the invisible God, but second of all, he is the firstborn of every creature. He is the firstborn of every creature. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, I'll read, we've read it already, but I'll read again. "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." Jesus Christ is the first begotten. He is the only begotten of the Father. And I'll try to simplify this as much as possible, but simply being, when we think of Christ, obviously he had a virgin birth, he had a physical birth, but he existed before that. He always was, he always will be. And our brains, in our lives, we think of ourselves, we had a beginning, it began at birth, but Christ, his beginning never was. And what I mean by that is he always was. In eternity past and in eternity future, the Lord Jesus Christ existed. He is the only begotten of the Father. He is the only one of his kind. Although we are joint heirs with Christ, we are now the children of God thanks to the blood of Christ, there is only one Christ. He is the first begotten of the Father. He is the only begotten. Jesus Christ did not begin when he was born in Mary through virgin birth. He always was. And Hebrews 1:6, I think, puts it best. It says, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world." He brought him into the world, speaking of God the Father sending God the Son through the process of the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary. And it speaks of the fact that he is the firstborn of every creature. Before every creature existed, the Lord Jesus Christ existed. And he always has existed. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 14 and following, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." He came after John, but he was before John. And speaking of, he had a physical birth, but before even his physical birth, he existed. That is the truth about our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Now in this verse, the Bible is saying the only begotten is in the bosom of the Father. Jesus is the firstborn of every creature. Even when he was here on this earth, the Bible speaks of him being in the bosom of the Father. Now this is, I'm just putting it in plain terminology to the best I can simplify it, is he is the firstborn of every creature. He is God. The Bible says in Micah 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Jesus had no beginning. He is from everlasting. He is the first begotten. He is the beginning. He has been always around, and he's always existed. However, before every creature existed, when we think of existence, the Lord Jesus Christ has always existed. The next point we're going to look at this evening is the fact, dealing with this very truth, is that he is the creator of all things. The Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. Colossians 1:16, I'll read again, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." He is the creator of all things. When we consider creation, we must consider the creator of it all. Our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, created all things, everything. When you go out and you look at the sun, moon, and stars, when you look around you and you see your fellow man, your brothers and sisters in Christ, the creator of each and every one of those things was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You were created by our Savior. Every person, every creature was created by him. Even the powers that be and will be were created by him. Whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, everything was created by our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The spiritual and the physical realms were created by our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your Bible to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 44. In verse 24, Isaiah chapter 44, and verse 24. The Bible says in Isaiah 44, verse 24, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the token of the liars, and maketh the diviners mad, and turneth the wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof, that saith to the deep, Be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers, that saith Osiris, He is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, Thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. The same God who made the heavens and the earth, the Bible speaks in this passage of Scripture, formed thee in the womb. Your very beginning, your very existence, it began with God. God created you. He's the creator of all things. John chapter 1, and beginning in verse 1, turn there if you would. John chapter 1, and beginning in verse number 1. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me, who's preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen the God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. In this passage of Scripture, we deal with the issue and the topic, the fact that he is the creator of all things. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ, this simple truth, he is the creator of everything. And there's a number of other passages of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. You could read that some other time, but I'm going to go a little bit farther forward instead of reading through that. By the Lord Jesus Christ were all things created, and we exist because of him. And when we consider all these things, they are of importance because it's important for us to consider who Christ is. We know him to be Savior, but we also need to know how he always has been. It's important for us to know how everything came into existence, and that's why the book of Colossians deals with this topic. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, the following. Turn there if you would. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8 and following. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8 and following. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him. Excuse me, I'm in Hebrews chapter 3 now. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in his hosts, For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Jesus Christ, who is God, has built all things. He has built all things. Next point we're going to be dealing with, if you're taking notes, is he is before all things. He is before all things. For in verse 17, the Bible says in Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things. Now, this may seem kind of redundant in the fact that we've already dealt with he's always existed, but the Bible says that he was before all things in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. And that just simply means before everything existed, the Lord Jesus Christ existed. Before anything existed, and this is where the world gets confused, and this is where they don't understand, they can't comprehend, but before space existed, before the worlds existed, before everything existed, Jesus Christ existed. He has always been, he always will be. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Turn your Bibles to the book of John, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and I'm going to read and beginning reading in verse 52. John chapter 8, and begin reading in verse 52. Now, if you consider these things, it'll help you if anyone has to ask you questions about why you believe there is a God. Why do you believe what you believe? And you can give them answers based upon the Word of God. When people want to know, how did things begin? And the world will offer them the answer, well, everything happened because of a big bang, and all, we evolved, and all these things. But that is not the truth. Everything exists because the Lord Jesus Christ created all things. And he existed before all things existed. And someone might ask the question, well, how did he begin to exist? He's always existed. He's always existed. The Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. If I should say, I know him not, I will be a liar like unto you, but I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Before Abraham existed, Jesus was there on the earth, and he was dealing with these people, and they were questioning who he was and how he could know the things that he knew. And his response to them was, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ is the great I am. He's God eternal. The Bible says in John 17, 3 and following, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I have had with thee before the world was. Before the world was, Jesus was. Before everything existed, Jesus existed. He is before all things. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and following. and from Jesus Christ, who is faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings on the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Revelation 1, verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He existed in eternity past and will continue to exist in eternity future. Not only is he before all things, but finally, and I'll be done this evening, by him all things consist. By him all things consist. Colossians 1 verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I really like this part of the passage because some people might believe when it comes to where our world is and what's going on, some people might believe that God has no part in it at all. They might think that God abandoned his creation. But by him all things consist. That is to say, they continue on. God is still a part of everyone's life in some matter or format. You say, how do you know that? Well, we'll see what the scriptures say about that. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verses 27 and 28, you don't have to turn there, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We know that Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. We know that when we look around us, everything and everyone has been created by him. But we also have to remember that our life exists because the Lord permits it. The life, our lives are in the Lord's hands. And the lives of the people in this world who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're in the Lord's hands. They exist because by him all things consist. And I think the very best way I can describe this is found in the book of Job. Job chapter 12, and we'll begin reading verse 7. Turn there if you would. Job chapter 12, and we'll begin reading in verse number 7. Job chapter 12, and verse 7. The Bible says, but ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee. The fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Even creation itself knows who God is. The world, they forget who God is, but creation has not forgotten. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled, and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings, and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. Everything in this world exists and continues to exist because God is involved in it. Everything. When we consider everything that goes on and that continues to go on, we should never look at our world and say God is not in control. God is in control. By him all things consist. He is the one who is working behind the scenes. He is the one who's purpose and the reason why things continue as they are is because God's not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The reason why life continues as it is, and people often wonder, well, if God were such a great God, why does he allow sin to continue? Why does he allow all these bad things to continue on happening? Is because God wants people to come to a place of repentance where they'll get right with God. But that doesn't mean he's abandoned his creation. He is very much involved in his creation. Everything that we see and occurs in this world is permitted by the word of his power. We're able to do things only because the Lord allows it. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 13, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth the not, to him it is sin. And Job chapter 34, verse 14 and 15. If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. And these passages of Scripture, what we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ is that he's in control of all things. And by him all things consist. In Job chapter 34, verse 14 to 15, it says that we are alive because God gives us life. If the Lord brought the Spirit and his breath back unto himself, our life would cease to exist. We would return back to the earth. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, he's more than just a Savior. He's God eternal. He's the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the only begotten. He is Jesus Christ. He is the creator of all things. He is eternal and was before all things, and by him all things consist. This evening is just a description of who Christ is. Christ is many things, and there's more to Christ than even what I've spoken about this evening. You can go through the Word of God and learn so much more, but he is all powerful. He's an almighty God, and he is our Savior. The one who saved you is an almighty God. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and following. Turn there if you would. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and following. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding in therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are the circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with him to the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When we look at Christ, he is many things, but to us he is our everything. He is our Savior. And I went through this evening to describe who Christ is because it's important for us to know who Christ is. He is our Savior, but he's many other things. And I encourage you to know who Christ is, to know what the Bible says about him. And sometimes we do get excited, and we ought to be excited about the salvation that he gives us, the gospel, the good news. But we also need to be excited about who Christ is, his person, and what the Bible says about him, his existence, how he's the creator of all things, and by him all things consist. God is many things, and we need to learn so much about him. We begin learning by learning what the Bible has to say about him. And when we learn what the Bible says about him, it'll help us to be rooted, to become stronger in our faith, so that we can be a greater lights in this world to bring people to the realization of who Christ is. The same God who created all things died on the cross so that all souls could be saved. He's an almighty God. He's done so much for us. And he's so powerful. But yet he loves sinners. He died on the cross for them. Let us think about that throughout this week, about what Christ is and what he's done for us. And let us not forget about it. Let us pray this evening. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for your love and your